From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another special edition, Red Friday edition of Locked On Chiefs. This is Red Friday, but more importantly, it's Chiefs win first seed Friday.
Yeah, something we haven't said in, I don't know, forever.
Yeah. Crazy thing for this team because they could be the one seed or they could be as low as the five seed.
And it really just comes down to this.
Yep. And I mean, they could win and be, obviously if they win, they're the one seed. If they lose, they can still be the one seed. They would need a lot of help, but it's possible.
Yeah, there are so many scenarios. It's really difficult to keep track of everything that could happen. But the simplest thing comes down to you do your job, you win, you're in. That's basically it. And not just in, but controlling your own destiny. And that's really the key to this Chiefs season going into what is a unique postseason for this team. Folks, thank you for coming back with us. He's Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs and Chiefs Digest. I'm Ryan Tracy of RGR Football and Rogue Analytics. We're here to wrap up this last regular season game. We thank you for joining us today and for all the listening that you've done. Hope you had a good vacation. We've been kind of hit or miss, but Chris, this all comes down to, do you want to be in control of your life or do you want to have to depend on other teams?
Obviously, you want to be in control. There's no doubt about it that you want to be in control of your own destiny. And if they win this game, like they should, they will be in control of their own destiny. In some ways, and I've said this before, I actually kind of like the fact that they have to play for something in week 17 because the way this team has played over the last month, I don't think that having 2 weeks off would be a good thing for them.
For sure. I keep that motivation, especially when you're dealing with a young team in general, but a young team at a couple of key positions, not just the quarterback, although at this point it's hard to say that he's still a young quarterback after all these starts, but especially
he's still a young quarterback.
Young, yes. Rookie, no. That's kind of where I was going with that. But fair they enough. Do have rookies starting at corner, and that's more the key to it. But to be out of the four positions, the four keys, quarterback, edge rusher, left tackle, and corner, to be so young at two of the four of them, that's something that's always a little, you know, trepidatious, right?
A little bit, but you have to still wonder whether or not the young corner is going to be starting this week. Was it them getting Ward a chance to play, or was it them benching Skandrick for Ward? I don't have a good answer for that. I expect Kendall Fuller will play this week since he's practicing in full. You know, the nice thing is they get back a bunch of people. It sounds like, Spencer Ware should be back. Sounds like Cameron Irving should be back. Those are big pieces, and Spencer Ware may not be as big of a piece, as he has been in the past because of what Damian Williams has done, but Cam Irving is a huge addition. And the opportunity to possibly get LDT back in 3 weeks is big as well.
Yeah, I think that's something that you don't often get to say at this point in the season, because to get all these players back, Barry 1 week, the possibility of getting your line back together, I mean, two of your five starters back on a bye week going into your first round bye, I mean, that's pretty incredible, even for some of the best teams that do this year in, year out.
Well, and it sounds like Sammy Watkins is making progress as well. He's not practicing, but the boot is off. So you give him two more weeks, I'm pretty sure he plays the first playoff game, and he is a huge boost to this offense.
Yeah, I think he really rounds out the toolbox and lets you do whatever the defense allows you to do. They can pick their poison at that point. If they feel like they want to double-team Tyreek Hill, they want to double-team Travis Kelce, and they want to play enough zone to try and do both, okay, fine. Then you have Watkins to take advantage of that. And I think that's really the key thing that they've been missing over the last, 4 weeks since he's been out.
Well, it doesn't hurt that they lost Kareem Hunt because he still hasn't been replaced, and Damian Williams cannot replace him, and neither can Spencer Ware. I think that's something they're going to have to address in the offseason. And maybe not by, signing somebody, but maybe drafting somebody. But we'll see. You know, that's the offseason. We're not talking about that right now. But as you said, Watkins is a huge piece to this offense, and it is sputtered in his absence. And you take him and Hunt out, and it has really struggled at times. And it's the small things. Yes, they're still scoring points. Yes, they're still scoring at a very high rate. But you're sitting there with a chance to go to the playoffs and have the first seed and control your own destiny, always play at home. And at this point, you want to have everybody available, and it sounds like they should have almost everybody available. I just looked at the report. It does look like everybody was a full participant in practice except for Sammy Watkins, who did not practice at all. That is phenomenal for this late in the year. And as I said earlier, LDT is not going to play this week, but him starting practice tells me he's going to be ready for the playoff game, because if he wasn't, they wouldn't have brought him back this week.
You would hope so. I mean, everything has kind of a progression it has to go through, but that is definitely a very positive sign for getting him back as well. And those are two things that really take, like we've been talking about the last week or two, take that offense from what is now just a good offense, but could take it back up to the realm. It does require a fully healthy ankle for Tyreek Hill as well, but it does take them to the possibility where they can be a great offense again.
And they do it against a team that they should be able to beat and beat handily. This Raiders unit is not a team that should really give Kansas City much of an issue. And, you know, yes, they gave them an issue in Oakland, but there's a couple of big things there. One, it's in Oakland. Two, you don't have the number one seed on the line at that point. And three, the biggest thing that most people haven't talked about is the loss of Kareem Hunt right before that game. You cannot underestimate how big of a hit that was to this team. And I still don't think they're over it.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, you can replicate yards. You can even replicate yards per carry. And I think Damian Williams is doing a good job of that, because he is doing the most that I feel that he can with his touches, to the point that he's actually, you know, in just a few games outgaining on a per carry basis what Kareem Hunt was able to do, because Kareem Hunt was able to close out games, and those are different types of carries, but it's giving you at least enough spark in between the 20s that I think it's important to keep the offense moving. And it comes down to me is, can you keep that offense rolling when you get in the red zone, not start to stall down like we saw in years past? And can you take this game, like you said, our Raiders team that they should beat on paper fairly easily, and can you use it to get everything spun up and firing on all cylinders again?
Well, and to me, it still goes back to even further than just sputtering in the red zone. They're at almost 40% or close to 45% in the past 2 weeks of three and outs on their offensive drives. That is killer for this team. If your defense was good, it'd be one thing, but having one of the worst defenses in the NFL and giving the ball back to the opponent after three plays and not giving your defense a chance to rest is a big part of why they are as bad as they are. I don't think that they would be much better with a little bit more rest, but they wouldn't be giving up the points they have. And I think they win maybe both games if they're able to stay at their season rate of, you know, 20 to 25% instead of 40 or over.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think you're probably right. And that's what's going to come down to. And folks, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about some of these specifics about how they need to go about this process.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
So as we look at the nuts and bolts, we've talked a lot about the offense at this point, but clearly this defense has been plagued, to put it nicely. And at this point, you have to have expectations that they can improve, because this is a professional defense and they're clearly not playing up to that standard and they need to improve, but you also have to be realistic. And I think for this particular game, if they can get it as a tune-up, I thought that there were some things last week that they could build upon, some things that Bob Sutton actually did well that we've been talking him doing for, I don't know, weeks and weeks. He rotated the linebackers so they were in there for downs that helped them do what they needed to do to help them execute. I thought that he blitzed more. I thought he shadowed some of his coverages a little bit better. We saw a lot of movement with Sorensen and Barry. These are all things that help this defense. But at the end of the day, the defense has an offense that they're going against that they have to focus on, in my opinion, one guy to stop this offense from really chugging, and that's Jerry Cook.
Yep. And that's honestly, that's an Eric Berry thing. I don't know if they'll use him in that role, but I think that they should, because I think that's where he'd be best. I'm not going to say he shut down Gronkowski the last time they played New England, but it was pretty close. He shut down Gronkowski most of that game, in my opinion, and then Gronk was able to go off once Berry got hurt. So I think you put him on Cook and you take away the one thing that they can do well, and you try to make Carr beat you with what else he has, which is not much.
Yeah, agreed. It is pretty bare pickings. You know, I think that they played, and I watched their game last week, I thought like they played with some heart. Ricard, I thought, put out some good effort. Jordy Nelson, since the Chiefs played them first time, he's had a sneakily more productive season since then. He's still gaining some nifty yards. He's still got a little bit of shake. He doesn't have that long speed that he doesn't get loose like he used to. But I think he's still somebody you got to keep an eye on for sure.
He's definitely somebody you want to keep an eye on, but I don't think it's as big of an issue as if you were playing Jordy Nelson of 2 or 3 years ago. He definitely doesn't have that ability at this point. So you want to keep an eye on him. And honestly, I'm not going to be opposed if they play Ward again. And I understand people are saying that you can't play him because he's a rookie and you need your best foot forward. I'm not so sure Skandrick is that big of an upgrade. Ward is better and was in better position most of the time and was not getting called for the horrible foul Skandrick was at different times. He did get called for a couple, but most of the time I thought he was in the hip pocket of the receiver, and Russell Wilson, let's be honest, made some great plays.
Yeah, there were a couple of those, and I put them in the video for the game plan that is up from last night. Folks, check that out because it is specific. And I said the same thing, especially Doug Baldwin when he's facing a rookie like that. It's not really a fair contest, you know? And I feel like you're right. I thought he was in position quite a bit. I thought his athleticism shone through. Clearly, he's not polished. Clearly, he's not a guy that's ready to be a starter, but he's going to get that shot. And I think he showed that he is closer than you might imagine. And especially if it's going to be a game that is called by the refs more tightly than we've seen in the past, because Skandrick will get a group of calls on him if they're going to call it down to the wire, because at this point he has to hold. He has to be grabby. And I'm not sure that Ward does. I think he is by nature. I think the more reps are going to come up and help him catch up rather quickly.
Well, I agree. I think Ward is the better option. We'll see if that's the way that they go. When it comes to Skandrick and just not knowing the defense, at this point in the season, it's really hard for me to feel okay about that, especially coming from a veteran. I get it from a rookie because all of this is new to him, but Skandrick, there's no way he shouldn't know this defense. And, you know, that's another question mark about Bob Sutton and why is it that the DBs are still struggling in week 17 or week 16 at least. But hopefully we don't have to be answering questions about Bob Sutton next year, but we'll have to wait and see at that point.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting twist. Because like I said, you know, we saw a couple of good things, especially when he got aggressive. Some of the more intricate blitzing that he did last week, I thought paid off. I thought he used Dorian O'Daniel probably the best in terms of the downs that he was in on, the situational awareness of using, Dorian O'Daniel in particular, I thought was probably the best that we've seen from Bob Sutton in week 16. And he's going to have to use every trick in the book come the off season. I'm sorry, postseason in order to try and progress through that, because I think Dorian O'Daniel has a big role to play. I think it's something that they're going to have to rely on him.
Well, and the one nice thing that we have going into this game is, generally speaking, Bob Sutton has had Derek Carr's number. Now, if that continues, we'll see. But for the most part, he's had Derek Carr's number. He's generally had Phillip Rivers' number for the most part as well. So it didn't work out so well this past game. But again, like I said, if the offense doesn't go 3 and out 4 out of 8 times, the Chargers don't have the opportunity to win that game at the end. So to me, controlling the ball, putting points on the board when you get the opportunity, and just sustaining drives past a first down or two, getting one or two first downs on most of your drives is a huge boost for your defense.
Agreed.
When you look at 10 minutes of time of possession, 10 minutes of time of possession at this point in the season is huge.
Right. It really bit them last week, the second quarter in particular, when they had, what was it, punt, fumble, punt, you know, and it's a grand total of, I think, 11 plays were run. Yep. And that not only doesn't get you any production on the offensive side, but it really puts your defense, especially two rookie starters out there, in a bad position to try and keep up with a savvy veteran like Wilson, who knows how to exploit you and has a couple of weapons.
Yeah, and Wilson's a phenomenal player, and he's able to beat you with his legs, something that Derek Carr generally won't do. So it's a little bit easier for Kansas City in that regard. And like you said, Wilson has weapons that Derek Carr doesn't. Derek Carr doesn't have weapons like Doug Baldwin or Kevin Lockett. Yes, he has Jared Cook, and Jared Cook is very good. But I think you can double Jared Cook and single the rest of the guys and still be pretty good for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. And it's again, it comes down to individual execution and playing your assignment. I still saw some blown plays last week. I still saw some guys paying more attention to other guys' assignments than their own, and it bit them. They have to get that under control as well. And I feel like this is a game where they can concentrate on some of the details for fear of losing the overall game plan itself.
Yep. Nope. I agree with you completely. It's a game that they should win going away. If they really want to show that they're the number one seed and they're the best team in the AFC, well, they better come out and stomp the Raiders, because honestly, this game should not be close. The talent level at most positions isn't close. The only position I can think of, there's a couple of positions, I guess, on Oakland. Their offensive line is pretty good for the most part, although they haven't played well. Hudson is still a very good center, in my opinion. But he's injured, and so is Jared Cook. But I don't know that there's many positions on the Raiders that you'd rather have a Raiders player than a Chiefs player.
Yeah, that's probably stretching it a bit, and I like the guys that you named. Why don't we take our second break? And folks, we'll come back and talk about exactly what Chris just said about making your point, showing that you deserve the number one seed, and what we think is going to happen.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So I think that's something that's a little underestimated in terms of what it can do for you going into the playoff run. These teams, should they win, and we're going to, I'm guessing we're both going to pick this team to win this week. I think that's important to see that that can have an effect on the rest of the playoff field by showing out in week 17, showing that you're capable of exploiting your opponent's weaknesses to its fullest. Being that steamroller in week 17, I think can have a mental advantage going in, even though you're getting that extra week off.
Absolutely. If you come out and you play well, it's a huge boon to this team. And they can play well on both sides of the ball, because let's be fair about it. Oakland's not a good offensive team. This defense should not be something that's going to allow 30 points this game. I don't expect them to allow 30 points this game. I expect that maybe you could even keep them into the teens. And I expect that because I think Kansas City's offense is going to play better, and I think they're going to create a time of possession issue with Oakland. And if Oakland gets in third and longs, Justin Houston and Dee Ford and Chris Jones are going to eat. And they're going to eat specifically on these tackles.
Yeah, agreed. You know, these are young pair of rookies that are going to have a lot of trouble. So why don't we start with what you think? Let's call it what it is. What is your prediction for this week 17 wrap up to the regular season?
I think Kansas City wins. I think they win big. I think they win. They may put 35, 38 points up on the Raiders, and the Raiders may score 17 to 20. And to me, this is a statement game for them. And I understand that it necessarily shouldn't have to be a statement game, but I think it is because they've played I'm not going to say poorly because they've still put up a lot of points, but over the last month, they've not played very well as a team, and playing well as a team in this game would be a huge boost to their confidence going into the postseason. And like we said earlier, we haven't even talked about whether or not Sammy Watkins is back for the postseason, which I expect.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I have this team winning this week as well, and for a couple of key reasons. I think that you saw a good game out of Carl Joseph coming up in run support last week, and I think he's somebody that Patrick Mahomes can key in on and take advantage of, because while he's good against the run, his coverage is poor continually. I think Travis Kelce has a good matchup there. I think he's somebody that can exploit not only with Kelce, but with whatever the slot receiver turns out to be. I'd like to see Tyreek run out of there some as well. But that matchup alone, not to mention the fact that I think Damian Williams is running well, and I think he can get loose because he's more in that speed end of the spectrum. I think that bodes well for the offense. And the defense, it all depends on whether they start Smith or not. I think Ward deserves a start. It sounds like Fuller's practicing as we record this on late Thursday night, folks. So I'm expecting Fuller to play as well. And I feel like Fuller, Nelson, Ward is a group that they can move forward with. I feel like Jordy Nelson will give them a little bit of trouble there, but I do feel that they're able to move the ball. I'm going to call this a Chiefs win 34-24.
I have to ask you a quick question, and we've already done a prediction. So my question to you is, does Patrick Mahomes, obviously I think he's going to hit 5,000 yards. He only needs like 150 yards, 170 yards, something like that. Does he hit 50 touchdowns?
I think he does. And I think one of them goes to Travis Kelce, who breaks Gronk's record as well.
I was about to ask that. So you think he breaks Gronk's record, and I think Tyreek Hill breaks the Chiefs record for receiving. So, and I'm sure
this could be a big day for records falling down.
Yeah. And to think 2 weeks ago, you would have thought that maybe this game wouldn't have even needed to be played. But
yeah,
the nice thing about it is that I think it will be a good game for the Chiefs to come out and play well against Oakland and get themselves a little bit of a tune up when they're going to be off, hopefully for an extra week. So we'll see that. And actually Ryan will be at the game. So enjoy that.
I will, sir. You know, and let us know what you think's going to happen, and let me know where you're tailgating. I'm going to be making the rounds. Got several kind invites from a bunch of tailgaters. Going to see Big Chief Sean out there, another YouTuber, and I'll be moving around the stadium. So if you have someplace I should check out, please let me know, and I'll try to come by. Appreciate you guys. Give us your predictions at the Twitter account at Locked On Chiefs. And thank you all for the listening that you've done, especially this week being the holiday week. Hope you enjoy this regular season finale. We'll be back with post game, probably either late that evening or the day after for the YouTube, and we'll definitely have a pod out for you as well. And beyond that, we will start immediately looking at what the future is for how this team can look for their matchup, no matter what happens, this particular game against the Raiders. So enjoy your weekend, Chris. I hope you enjoy yours.
Thank you. I fully intend to, because the Chiefs win will make it that much better.
Folks, enjoy yours as well. Go Chiefs, and we will talk to you after the game.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.